This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Live from ESPN Studios, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott, the Eagles' O is no mo. That O had to go, and it went on Monday Night Football last night. Were you surprised at all about the outcome of that game last night?
Oh, of course I was surprised. Nobody had that picked in their survival pool or something like that. But I tell you
not survival pool, no.
I tell you, that's the thing. What happens is how hard it is to go undefeated in this league. And also, it's always somebody that you don't expect. Now, I'm not going to say that the Eagles played down to the competition. That would be disrespectful to the Commanders. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is Tyler Heinicke, you know, is fearless. And I think whether Carson Wentz comes back or not, he gets the reaction from this team that you want your starting quarterback to get. He's a guy that's fearless. He's playing with house money. And he's a guy that they respond to. Could he have been better? Yes. But I tell you what, he made winning plays. And this team is only going to get better. And now when you look up and you look at this Commanders team, they're right there in the mix with everybody else within that division. So you kind of got to tip your cap to Ron Rivera. Because guess what? They're only one game behind the Dallas Cowboys. So
game and a half. They are. It's so funny, too. That whole division is 500 or better. The whole division. Like, they are one of eight teams that are 500 or better in the NFC. That would be the Commanders, who, again, with Carson Wentz coming back, or at least he'll be available this week now after the injury, he has come back, and Taylor Heinicke is their starter. But, you know, like, listen to Terry McLaurin, who's the wide receiver, who's really kind of turned into a leader on this team, talking about Heinicke and how you might overlook him, but he gets it done.
When the entire world, Terry, is talking about the other team and no one's giving you a whole bunch of a chance, I just wonder how motivating that is for the locker room you're in.
Yeah, you know, we've been going through a lot this offseason, ups and downs, you know, outside noise and people counting us out. But, you know, I don't.
That is not the cut I was looking for. What he basically said was that, is it somewhere else on the page and I'm just missing it? It's got to be the wrong cut. All right, we'll get the right cut. But what he basically said is that Heinicke's a guy that just gets the guys, like everybody kind of rallies around him, Bart.
Yeah, but like, that's what he is. What I just said, because I watched the Van Pelt interview. It was on that cut.
That was with Scott Van Pelt. It was one of those cuts, but it wasn't that one. But the bottom line is that that's what this guy has done for this team, and that's what he did. But let's just flip it on the other side of it, though, is what did we see out of the Eagles that might cause some concern?
Well, you just can't. Well, turnovers, but I mean that sometimes
they
that
had
just
four
happens.
Last night. They had three in eight games.
But two of those turnovers. Come on, man, those don't happen. You know, in a season, you know, somebody getting back up from falling after they got behind the defense and then getting tackled and fumbled the football because he's trying to change hands, because you're taught as a runner to always put the ball in the outside hands as he's transitioning the ball. Somebody comes out of nowhere and hits him with a jolt from running from probably 12 yards of speed. So that doesn't really happen. And you talk about the face mask slash sack or tackle that got the ball out before. You know, I think the ball comes out whether his face mask being grabbed or not, but when your head comes down, your elbow goes up as you try and stay up, and it exposes the football. So that doesn't happen. What really concerned me is how they were able to run the football and also extend drives by taking this offense of the Philadelphia Eagles and putting them on the sideline. That's the most surprising thing for me, mm-hmm. the fact that a team that isn't known for having a great offensive line was able to push this defensive line around.
There was that, yes. And it's something that you just made. They were also, again, if you're on the Philadelphia side of things, you're going to have a lot of losers lament in this. And you could talk about the turnovers, but you mentioned something that has a lot of people annoyed. There were some calls by the officials that are being questioned today. One of them was the unnecessary roughness on Brandon Graham when Heinicke takes the knee real quick and he's, you know, bearing down on him.
Oh, my God.
Well, there I go. I'm explaining it. And he goes that. Now, they thought they had the stop, but because he makes contact with him, Brandon Graham, that is, he gets flagged, and now, of course, the drive continues, and pretty much the game is over. You're a defensive player. You have defended a lot of times defense for it's impossible to stop. It's impossible on some occasions to avoid hitting someone when they look defenseless. But you, we were talking before the show, you feel differently about this, though. You do feel like that flag was warranted.
Brandon Graham knew exactly what he was doing. He took 5 steps after the knee was taken. And don't tell me you're not used to seeing somebody take a knee or give themselves up. It was clear that he was down. Brandon Graham, not only got there, he got on his knees to try and hit. Don't tell me he was pulling up. Like, guess what happens? And this is when the selfishness comes out from a football player. When a quarterback takes a knee or he's running out of bounds, the closest person to him gets what, Allen? A sack. He was trying to be the first person there to touch him as he gave himself up to get a sack to
that
add to his sack total.
That's a sack.
Yes.
When he gives himself up and
yes.
you just tag him.
Whoever's closest to him gets the sack.
Man, that's a cheap sack.
Of course, man, bro. You know how many people, bro? Why do you think you see people running like crazy when a quarterback's running to the side? Yeah, see, that's why you got to listen to your boy. When I tell you it's selfish,
to my boy.
I'm telling you that it's selfish. So, also, if you ever watch, a quarterback slip. And they blow the whistle. You see people diving just to touch them first?
I never knew that.
What the hell you think they doing?
I never knew
because
that.
At
they
the
were
end,
just trying to get a hit on them, man.
No, because guess what? At the end of the day, right, when you add all those sacks up, nobody remembers how you got them.
Yeah, I get
so
it.
So have you ever seen people
well,
run? Actually,
I guess Brett Favre gave himself up for Michael Strahan, right? And I guess all he had to do was
all he had to do was touch him with one finger, but he laid on top of him.
I never thought about that. All right, well there
so
you go.
So when I tell you,
so you're saying he was being selfish?
Yes, yeah. Because the guy behind him was laying on his back, so he hadn't really touched him yet. So he thought that man, he was running like hell. Because then guess what? If you get kind of close and you touch him right after, bang bang, guess what you get? If you don't get the sack, you get the assisted sack. That's a half a sack.
You get the half, yeah.
So, listen, what does Brandon Graham get paid for?
Well, yeah, sacking the quarterback.
Sacks. So, when I tell you it was selfish and he knew exactly what he was doing, he was trying to get there. That's why he didn't slow up. He could have – if you watch the play, and I implore anybody that's by a computer to watch the play, he could have just ran, he could have just altered his run. He took 4.5 steps after he took the knee.
All right, so you're saying on that play it was deserved. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Something, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I never even saw it that way. You saw it that way. I thought you were going to take the side of the defense, but you didn't there. Very interesting take there. We want you to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. It's the one fans deserve. We'll get the calls racked and stacked, ready to go. But there was the other flag, and you kind of glossed over this. I'm not going to let you do it.
Okay.
So there's the face mask that also led to a fumble.
Okay.
And then the fumble, of course, as you know, these are reviewed. And during the review process, the officials couldn't change the call because you can't when you're reviewing it for just the fumble. Now, the official after the game told a pool reporter that we just missed it, that apparently no one saw Dallas Goedert's head twist sideways.
It didn't twist sideways. It twist down.
I believe it was sideways. I watched that replay five times. He turned his face sideways. It looked awkward.
It's not. It's different when somebody's running in front of somebody. When somebody's tackling you from the back. When somebody's tackling, I don't know what's wrong with my mic because I'm speaking loud as I can. But
you're fine.
I don't know. You sound good to me. I don't know
right,
when.
Anyways.
No. What I'm saying is when you're tackling by somebody from the back, you don't get the head turn that's really apparent from that.
All right. But that's not my point.
Comes from the side and gets it. Okay.
So my point is they missed it, but I just don't understand how we could be in a world where you are watching the replay back to see if it's a fumble or not, and it's like, well, we can't make the call. We can't. You might have seen it on the replay. They clearly saw it on the replay, but it was like, well, it didn't happen because we can't change the call watching a replay. Aren't we watching replays to get the calls right?
No, we're looking for.
Why are we watching replays?
We're watching for a specific violation.
I understand, but if that leads to a fumble, shouldn't that be the call?
Nope. Because guess what? If you're doing that, let's go back and when they review touchdowns, like, oh, actually, he illegally picked them. We missed it on the field. But let's go back and assess offensive pass interference. Or when somebody you're trying to watch when somebody's completing a pass and did he keep maintain control falling to the ground and say well actually right before he caught the ball he pushed off let's just go ahead and call that you know what I'm saying offensive pass interference it don't work like that man it's always going to be trial and error and involved in this and if you add those things to it then it's going to be grounds to start reviewing and changing plays all the time and we would get tired of that sometimes the guys just miss it even though he was getting face masked. And it had nothing to do with him losing that ball because that ball was coming out regardless. So, like, let's not – he still could have held on to that football. So let's not give an excuse or a way out, and let's not open up Pandora's box.
All right, so you don't want it to be any more than that. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The latest from Adam Schefter, this is regarding Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp. Remember, he had an ankle injury that some fear to be pretty significant. So he is scheduled, according to Schefter, to undergo ankle surgery tomorrow. The team is putting him on IR, and this is according to Sean McVay. So that means he's out for a minimum of 4 weeks.
And the way
things are going for the Rams, Schefter thinks it could even be longer. So the defending champs now without arguably their most important player, at least on the offensive side of the football. Let's get a couple of calls in here, Bart, on this because, you know, like I said, these were two penalties that were called, or one that wasn't called and one that was. The Eagles did enough to hurt themselves, right? So I said this is loser's lament, no doubt about it. But we all have opinions about these things, so let's get to them. We go to Reno and talk to Dane. What's up, Dane?
Hey, guys. Second time, a long time. So I feel like all these bad takes that Bart lays around, it's almost like you don't even need a pooper scooper. You need a dookie dolly to go around the yard and pick up all these bad takes. Because to say that Graham was trying to get a stat.
Have you ever played football? Have you ever played NFL football?
I mean, that's what happens.
Have you ever played NFL football?
No,
have you ever been around pass rushers?
Yes, I was one.
Okay, and you know that if you touch those guys, that's why he was coming in with two hands. He was trying to tag him first so he can get the stat. You know that he took four steps. We talk about a personal foul from Franklin Myers, you know, taking a step and a half. He took four steps.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but there's a difference between trying to touch him to get a stat and end the game with a guy that's giving himself up. I understand. I never got paid to play football, but, you know, what I'm telling you is every guy on that field wants to win, and he made a mistake. It wasn't trying to get a stat.
So no harm, no foul, right? So just it's all good. You took four steps and hit the quarterback that put himself down and took a knee. It's okay. So if Aaron Rodgers would have taken like a knee when you're trying to make the clock run out and somebody come hit him four seconds or 3 seconds after he took a knee, you just say, oh, it's okay. That's fine?
No.
So it warranted the penalty then.
I think this audio is just getting really weird.
So it warranted the penalty. He took four steps. Rather, he was trying to tag him gently and his momentum couldn't stop. He had more than enough time after he had clearly – and second of all, so it's somebody behind him that has his arms around him that had already tackled him.
So you were in your mind, you were saying to yourself that he had plenty of time to stop despite the momentum that he was bringing to the quarterback because that was a huge possession. They get him down there. They get the ball back.
He kept bringing the momentum to him. Like, why are you coming with momentum when he's giving himself up? Clearly, you can see that because you're running there the whole time. And you clearly see your teammate behind him with his arms around his waist while he's in the ground.
Okay.
So what's the point?
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm sure we'll get some opinion on this from the callers. We have that coming up, of course, with you as well.
I mean, and also, don't be calling up here talking about high school. I was one. Little League don't count, bro.
Polk High.
Yeah, stop it. Those dudes get paid for those, and I've seen them. I've seen guys damn near dive on the sideline when the quarterback's about to step out of bounds because they want to be the closest one there. You'd be looking like, yo, what the hell are you running this over crazy for? The quarterback's clearly about to run out of bounds. He's trying to be the closest one.
Bart versus everyone. It already starts today at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, by the way, when the Eagles lost this game, when they lose this game, does it open the door for one team in the NFC East? We'll discuss that in a moment. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Bundle today at progressive.com. So the Eagles now, that O is no mo. They're 8-1. A.J. Brown said after the game, Bart, now all this 17-0 stuff is over with, and, you know, how do we respond now? So you don't have that hanging over the team, that idea or pressure or discussion of can you guys run the table? All right, that's over with now. Can they get back to work? Because they clearly just weren't themselves last night. And again, as you said, let's not discredit what the Commanders did, because they played a big boy game last night. They won the trenches game. You know, you saw that, and it was an impressive win for the Commanders.
They played hard all year.
For their coach and all the crap that they're dealing with, too, with that franchise.
Man, if you look what happened the week before with Minnesota, they were in that game for a while, too. They could arguably be sitting here at 6-3. But, you know, to further like my case, if you listen to what Brandon Graham said afterwards, I have his quote here. I was just trying to touch him down because it looked like he was going to get up. You just never know. That's on me. So if you saw him take – yeah, that's what – yeah, he was getting
he
up because he took a knee a long time ago. So that's how you know he's lying. Because what I'm saying is true. Because if he – why would he have to touch him down if it's one of his teammates laying behind him? Literally, laying behind him. Somebody's already touched him down. But you're trying to get close for a half sack. I know what the hell I know. And you can tell that he's freaking lying when he say, I was just trying to touch him down. Really?
Let's get more people involved in the conversation. We got some news from Barton Hahn Nation. We've got Mike in Virginia hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. Go ahead, Mike.
Yo, what's up, Barton Hahn? Long time, no talk. How y'all doing, man?
Somebody listen to the Mike? Breakfast Club with the yo.
Yeah, something like that. Is one of the, let y'all know remember me. But anyways, so before, you know, a whole lot of clowns and people who never play a sport a day in their life get on the radio just to hear themselves talk. You know, I'm a real wing button and say something real quick, but everybody's not against you. I agree with you. Football is situational, so he knew the situation. He knew what down it was. He knew. He knew in his head what he was going to do. I'm talking about Graham. Yep. So, you know, football is like a physical chess game. It's all situational. It's all strategizing. So he knew what situation it was. I believe that he deserved the flag. And then with the face mask, you know, you can't miss. You're going to miss some things.
You know what I'll say, Mike, too?
So fast.
Mike, what it does happen fast. And with that in mind, and thanks for the call, Mike, I'll also say this. Heinicke had great awareness in that moment. How many young quarterbacks might have tried to do too much, tried to run a little too much, fight through something?
Or threw the ball out of bounds, which would stop the clock.
Right, or throw
so
the ball.
That's
a great point.
He took the knee to make them have to burn the timeout.
Yeah, come and get me.
He's like, I can't go nowhere. If I throw it away, it's going to stop the clock. I need to get these 40 seconds off or make them take this timeout.
Yeah. No, so give him credit as well for the timing of that play. Scott in Manhattan, how you doing, Scott?
First and foremost, let me say this. I just think that, about what you're saying, listen, to use your trump card, yeah, you're a professional football player, and nobody can speak about the defense because you were a defensive football player. But that play last night, for me as a person watching, for the integrity of the game, he pulled up. Yes, he took four steps, but you can't tell me, and Barton, guys your size and bigger when you play, you can't tell me a guy 230, you expect a guy just to stop and hold up like that. He pulled up. He did not put his helmet down.
He just said he was trying to touch him down. He just said in his statement, he just said he was trying to touch him. So he wasn't trying to slow down or avoid him because he could have avoided him. But he didn't because he said he was trying to touch him down, which is a bold-faced lie because he was already being touched by his teammate behind him. See, that's what a lie is.
Him saying that changes everything, in my opinion. Because if he would have said, I was trying to hold up
he was
and
trying
I just
to touch
couldn't.
Him.
But he, yeah, him saying that instead of, like, if he had come after the game said, I couldn't stop myself. There was just too much momentum, and I just couldn't stop, and I fell into him, and I didn't mean to. If he would have said that, I would have probably put up an argument. But he said exactly what you said, which is I was trying to touch him down.
And why was he trying to touch him? To get the sack.
And then he said, it's my bad, which is the other part of it as well.
That's on me. Yeah, that's on me.
All right, we continue. We continue with news from Barton Hahn Nation. I know you know what you know. Nobody is checking you. We only had one caller check you. We have Matt in Houston hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just want to go back to the face mask last night and just say that why can't we, when we're under the hood anyway, when we're looking at the review, why can't we just get the call right?
That's
I mean,
what
I understand
I
that you open up Pandora's box,
right?
But you're already
but if you're
under
already
the
viewing
hood, right.
The call, that's the call, it, Matt. The, if no, you're no, already listen. Reviewing it, it's not to add any more reviews.
They were trying.
But
they
you're
were trying,
already right. reviewing it.
They got the call right.
Yes.
Was it a fumble? Or was
baseball
it a fumble?
It.
Was it a fumble or wasn't it a fumble?
Yes.
Was the fumble after
right.
the face mask?
No, no,
during
no.
the
what
face mask?
What I'm saying is, you open it up because what happens is, if you're doing that, if you're trying to check and see if somebody completed the pass, and you say, oh wow, he pushed off. Then what are you going to do? Go back and say, well, He caught the ball, maintained control, but we noticed that he kind of pushed off before offensive pass interference. Man, we would go livid. We would go livid.
I just want the call
if we would have been checking, let's see if he fumbled and say, oh damn, that lineman was holding him.
But you're not watching the all 22 when you're reviewing.
No, I'm saying,
you're not going to see the lineman holding.
You would see close proximity. You would see close proximity, right? If he's running through that hole and he falls right there, he actually blocked him in the back, or he actually was a block in the back. You can't do that, man. Let me tell you, it's so much harder to see what's happening when somebody tackles somebody from behind, because you're used to them the defender tackling in front, which opens up your eyes to see everything. But when somebody's behind somebody, you can't see what's happening, and they tackled him from behind. That is different, and it's a much tougher angle to see what's going on when a bad body is falling down. How many times do you think referees see players or tacklers tackling somebody from behind? Not often. They're used to seeing it come to them, which allows you to have your eyesight. They're running, trying to catch up because they're past them. It's just a difficult play. But that's the way you can – we know how to get away with stuff. That's why they moved the lines judgment from where they used to go, because we used to do defensive holding, and they couldn't see the defense holding, so they put the line, the umpire, on the other side.
All the tricks of the trade, you learn them here, because you've got a guy that pretty much knew all the tricks and tried to employ them best he could. And that's why when he sees it, he calls it out. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That he is Bart Scott. I'm Alan Hahn. We're Bart and Hahn. And coming up, so as I mentioned, did the Eagles just open the door for one NFC East team? And how about just in the NFC alone, is the door open for another team that could get that coveted top seed? We've got that and your calls. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We got your calls. We'll get back to them. The Cooper Kupp news from Adam Schefter there is
like a lollipop.
A concern, obviously, for the Rams. Cooper Kupp being out, being on IR now, out for at least a month. They've been in a tough spot. You're too busy singing. Bart, how is this a huge impact on the – I mean, it's got to be, right? It's Cooper Kupp. It's Matt Stafford's favorite target, and Stafford is in concussion protocol, right? But he should be coming out. They expect – no, he is still in the protocol. Okay. So we don't know when he's going to be returning.
Man, he'll be out.
Are the Rams barbecue chicken?
Oh, yeah, they barbecue chicken, but I think – I tell you, Matthew Stafford will play better football without Cooper Kupp than with Cooper Kupp.
What? It's his favorite target. How do you say that?
Well, that's the issue, right? Because – it's his favorite target, and he pretty much ignored what we thought was the best offseason acquisition in Allen Robinson, right? And now Van Jefferson is back. So what happens is when you lose a great player, guess where the football goes? To everybody, where the defense dictates the ball to go to. Just like we saw Patrick Mahomes. Doesn't Patrick Mahomes look like a much more complete quarterback now that he doesn't have Tyreek Hill?
Well, he's always looked like a complete quarterback, but I know what you're saying.
I mean, Harmon has high catches. You look at Travis Kelce, high catches.
Yeah, he spreads it around, no doubt.
Right. So it makes you – if you got somebody that you – if I got a quarterback that's throwing the ball to everybody, it makes it so much harder to defend. But when I know his got-to-have-it moments, he's going to Cooper Kupp, I just advise the defense to double or take him away. We saw this when he had Calvin Johnson. You know, they never went nowhere. But then, you know, when he went and he got Marvin Jones, he had a bunch of good receivers, his game went to another level. And I think it will go to another level until he learns how to play with Cooper Kupp with still being able to distribute the football. We've seen, you know, Allen Robinson so frustrated the fact that he's not getting the football or getting opportunities to make great plays. So it could be a blessing in disguise.
It's amazing. I'll give you the breakdown. Cooper Kupp threw 9 games, 98 targets. Tyler Higbee, the tight end, is second with 65. Allen Robinson at 47. So Allen Robinson basically has half of the targets that Cooper Kupp has. They played the same amount of games.
And we know Allen Robinson is on the same stratosphere as Cooper Kupp. He's done more with bad quarterbacks, and now that he has a good one, he's not getting a chance to get the football.
Interesting. All right, so you think when Stafford comes back, this actually could be a good thing for the Rams? I mean, if you have Cooper Kupp on your fantasy team, my condolences. I mean, that's a guy that obviously you would love to have.
RIP to your championship.
RIP to your championship. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, with the Eagles losing, they go to 8-1. I mean, it's still 8-1. They still have the best record in the NFC, but it's now tied with the Vikings, but they have the tiebreaker because they beat the Vikings already this season. They're 8-1, but then there's the Giants at 7-2.
Got them twice.
The Giants still play the Eagles twice before the season's over. They have not faced them yet. Is the door open for Brian Daboll's football Giants?
Not only is the door open, if they can get Kenny Galladay to just remember half of what he was in Detroit.
Amazing.
Only 2 years ago.
He's frustrated, too. But, real frustrated.
But they have the recipe as well. Running the football, which is what the Giants do best. Running the football because this defensive of the Eagles, if it's any chink in the armor, it's the fact that they really don't stop the run well, which is weird. I know Jordan Davis was out, but they don't have the dogs at the second level. They don't have the linebackers at the second level that know how to take advantage of having a front four or front seven rotation like that. They don't understand it yet. They might grow into it and figure it out. But first thing on my wish list, if I'm Philadelphia in the offseason, is to go find them a dog at middle linebacker.
So you have, after the Giants, you have Dallas at 6-3. You have Seattle at 6-4. And then San Francisco is 5-4. That's your teams with a winning record, 6 of them. That's it. 6 teams with a winning record. After that, you have 2 .500 teams, which is Washington, who won last night and beat the Eagles. And then, of course, the Bucs, Tom Brady and the Bucs at 5-5, who lead their division. But, like, the NFC should still be the Eagles to lose. But that loss last night just kind of it bunches it up a little bit, at least. Like, the Cowboys still can feel like they're very much in things.
Well, the Cowboys should feel like, hey, man, we were right there with our backup quarterback. Yep. We should be able to do something better when we can have more of a semblance of a passing game. And we know what the recipe is. Run the ball over and over and over and over and over again. Eventually, Zeke will be healthy, and we'll see, because now the blueprint is out. Right? We knew what the blueprint was. Now the blueprint has been it's been verified.
Well,
and that's what
I'll
teams want to do.
Who do we believe in? If you have the Eagles as the best team right now, you've got Minnesota, the Giants, and Dallas that are still in shouting distance. Who do you trust out of that group? Who maybe is the door open for? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got more of your calls coming up. Plenty more to get to, of course. Herm Edwards going to join us. Tad Prescott is scheduled to join us because he's got some beef with Bart that he wants to talk about, what Bart's take on Dak Prescott, Tad's brother. And Tad always tweets about all the different shows on ESPN. So we said, you know what? Why don't you come on and let's have it out. So he is scheduled to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. So a lot to get to, your calls as well. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. I got to credit you, man. You got me on that C.T. Fletcher thing right now.
Yeah, man.
Which I was oblivious to this guy.
That's what I'm here
and,
for.
You know, we all need that like that new thing in your ears or in your mindset to get you through because, you know, we get into the cold weather season. You know, it's so easy to, like, work out in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's easy to do that stuff. It's easy to get up early in the summer. It's easy to get all that stuff in. But when you get into the grind of life in the, you know, through the cold weather months and your schedule gets tighter and all that other stuff, it's easier to just stay, I'm going to sleep in today. I'm going to sleep in today, right? You got to get that out of your head. And if you listen to some of the stuff, some of the motivational speeches that this guy, that he was a bodybiller, for those who don't know, Bart turned me on to it. He's like, you got to listen to this.
66 years old. All the athletes listen to him. You know, all the entertainers love to go out to his gym in Compton and work out just to see it. He's like an urban legend for us, man. At one point, was the strongest man, like the flat back curl in the world. You know what I mean? But so that and athletes listen to a lot of Rise Motivation, which are compilations of like Les Brown, Eric Thomas, motivational speakers. That's kind of really what I lift weights to. I don't really lift weights to music.
Mm. Yeah, I had it in my ears this morning, man. And it got me fired up. So you got me started on this thing. I just, we all need something. I'm never going to be, you know, you always know what you are. Never going to be like super jacked and all that stuff, but you just want to have something. You have to have your why. And sometimes you lose it, so you need something new. And you get that voice in your head that tells you why, and you jump on it. So that's what I did. So I appreciate you for that. Anyways, some news out of Philadelphia. Not great. Dallas Goedert expected to be out an extended period of time with a shoulder injury.
Yep. Big boy landed on that shoulder on that fumble. Landed on that shoulder. That's that Tony Siragusa, RIP to my dog.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's how he got Rich Gannon when he got him in playoffs and landed on top of him. That's where they first started that no full body weight because you can get them shoulders up out of there.
I love the sound effects. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get some calls in here. We got a lot to get to. We want to talk with you about it before we get to Herm Edwards, top of the hour. So let's go to Philly. Why not? And talk to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Great. Hey, I wanted to chime in on what's been the talk now about, you know, the recipe for beating Philly is just run the ball and just say that it's not going to be that easy. It's not that simple. You need a lot of other things to go right in order for that to for a team to beat Philadelphia, not just running the ball. For instance, you know, they had a 3.1 yard average running the ball yesterday. And with a 3.1 yard average, you know, you're not going to beat a whole lot of people. So that tells you that a lot of other things went right for them at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Cause it's not like Philly has given up a whole lot of yards on the ground this year. That's not, you know, their identified weakness.
Secondly, can I just pause you for 1 second? They haven't given up a bunch of yards because they've been ahead, so teams have been forced to abandon the run. If you remember when they played the Houston Texans, Pierce was getting loose on them, and that's not even a good football team, but he was able to run the ball downhill on them. And Ron Rivera's from the old school, he stayed consistent with it because if you get 3.1 yards per carry, if you run three times, what? How many yards have you got?
Well, that's 9.3, but now it's time to punt.
No. That average brought down because you got to average in a lot of times when they did punt, they stopped them below that. But more than not, they were getting more than 3.1 yard per carry. That's just the average when you add everything into it, including the kneel down and stuff like that. That's the average down.
And I can give you that. Now Eric brings up the point, and let me just now follow up with what I do, which is the stats. Okay, so the Commanders dominated possession, right, over 40 minutes of game time. The Eagles had it under 20. Like, the Eagles haven't had a time of possession like that since 2015. Three drives lasted greater than seven minutes. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal as well. Scoring drives, four of them, at least 12 plays. You know, converted. And here's the key. 12 third downs. They converted 12 third downs. They needed an average of 4.6 yards on third down. So they were getting third and shorts. They weren't getting third and longs, and they were converting them. That's huge as well. So just in the first half alone, the Commanders rushed the ball 57% of the time and got 100 yards out of it. So that's all important. Those are things that teams look at and say, all right, how do we control the game? Don't let their offense be on the field as much. And also, we just have the ball. When you have the ball, the other team can't score. And, of course, when the Eagles did have the ball, they turned the ball over. That was the other part of it as well. They did not do that all season. They did not turn the ball over all season until last night. So, Eric, that's a formula, I think, and thanks for the call, Eric. That's a formula that you're going to see teams, and I think like the Giants, who play them twice still. You don't think the Giants are looking at that with a running game that they have with Saquon Barkley, that they're not going to say, this is what we're going to do, don't give them the ball. That's the big part of this, Bart.
Yeah, because they have those two explosive weapons on the outside, and they have the offensive line, and now without Dallas Goedert, it's going to get a lot harder too, because now you can double two people. It's hard to double three.
Mm. All right, let's continue with the calls. We got Katie. She's calling us from Kansas City. What's happening, Katie?
Not much. Thanks for taking my call, guys. The loss last night for Philadelphia reminds me of the Chiefs loss. I'm a Chiefs fan. To the Colts. I mean, it just happens. You just can't be perfect all the time. They didn't play their best game. A couple things I wanted to say was I totally agree with Bart. You cannot be reviewing things. You've got to review the fumble. You can't call that face mask. That is a slippery slope. All of a sudden, you have tons of things you're seeing. You just got to review the play. The face mask didn't cause the fumble. And I think Graham at the end was, I guess he was brain dead. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what, when I watched it originally, I thought, was he going for the ball? Did he see the ball coming out? Something I didn't see. But then at the end, when they replayed it, I was like, nope, he just made that was dumb.
It was all gas, no break.
So he was trying to touch him because the closest person to touch a quarterback when he puts his knee down, that's who responsible for the play going dead. So they get a sack. So it's like
that's
trying to get a meaningless
stat.
Up. It's like
Katie, thank you for the call.
Stat.
Yeah, and you brought that up at the beginning of the show, and I never really thought about that, you know. But it's something obviously you're well aware of, and you know those conversations happen behind closed doors.
I've done it. Quarterback fumbled the ball, slip. I mean, I'm trying my best to touch him first,
and then make sure everybody saw that you touched him, right?
Yeah, you put your hand up in there and pound your chest.
I completely. It's like making sure you get the second assist in hockey. No. I touched that. I touched that. No question about it. Let's get Roy in the truck real quick here, Roy.
Hey, fellas.
What's happening,
good afternoon,
Roy?
Bart. Now, check this out. You got 8 officials on that field. Which one of you guys are supposed to be watching for a face mask? And Alan, I'm with you on that. If y'all miss something and you're looking for a fumble, but you happen to see a face mask, look, you need to call that because the whole planet saw that face mask.
Yeah.
And Bart, I want to ask you something.
When you hit Bart.
When you hit Ben,
yep.
What did you see? And I noticed when you landed on him, you didn't put all your weight on him, so you kind of pulled up. So I know you didn't try to kill him, but what did you see that made you make that play like that?
Well, we had set the defense to the right side. The center used to snap the ball blindly. When he put his head between his legs, I ran to the left, and he had slid the protection the wrong way. We knew we would have one more that they could block.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.